Okay. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. I have Brendan Blackham as a guest today. I'm excited to have you. Thanks for joining, Brendan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So let's start off with a little bit of a background. I mean, we're chatting very briefly, but we haven't gotten to know each other that much. So I wanted to save it for the show. But yeah, 2-3 minutes of who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah. So, again, yeah, my name is Brendan Black and I work for a company called Content Supply, which is a video production company based out of Colorado, but we work with people all over the world. And so I live in Utah, Northern Utah in the sticks up by Tremont, but I work with people anywhere. Right. And so that's kind of my day job. And then my night job, right? You're 5 to 9 after your 9 to 5. I own a media production company called Blackthorn Media and, just hustle, work with clients. I came from a musical background. Musician, hence the, you know, little guitar pick necklace and stuff, but playing a band called the Bombshell Flowers. That's where I got my start in like creative and things of that nature and promotion, and did a little sales in the past. And so I use all those things I learned promoting a band to help promote businesses now. And so through that journey, I mean, you learn so much. It's the ups and the downs, the love, the hate relationship sometimes with making content, making creative, making people happy, right? Working with clients. And so I'm excited to talk to you a little bit about kind of your processes, how you cope with stress, how you cope with all these different mental challenges that come up with entrepreneurs. Because I also host a podcast called the Rock and Roll Startup and talk to entrepreneurs and founders who go through the struggle, but we don't get to dive into this topic very much, right? So I'm just excited to be here, excited to hear what you have to say, and then talk a little bit about, give my 2 cents on the subject as well.
Yeah. How long have you been running your media company for?
So about 2 years coming up on it. So that's been a side thing for not too long, but we're getting there.
So do you tell yourself everything's going to be better in XYZ amount of time, and then you hit that time and then it doesn't? I mean, it does. You solve some problems and it just gets harder. I've been telling myself 6 months. In 6 months, the world's going to change and I'm going to be so, you know, rolling in the cash. And then 6 months later, I'm like, I just need another 6 months. I've been doing that for 3 years since I bought Dirty Dough.
Yeah, literally, I feel that. So I'm not the only one. Yeah, yeah, yep. I mean, it's always like, I think that's kind of it's a joy and a curse, I think, of those who are entrepreneurial minded, is the next thing, right? Always pushing the boundaries, always looking for that next thing, the next growth. Like it's a positive, but at the same time, you can get wrapped into kind of getting in the spirals, yeah. Right? Sometimes.
Yeah. And that's really where this podcast was actually born, is me recognizing that I was caught in that spiral, and I'm still caught in it, but at least I'm aware of it. I think that's the first step, being aware of it and then talking to my spouse. And that's actually where it came up again last night, because she was asking me some questions. I said 6 more months. And I said, but you know that I always say 6 months, and we both started laughing. But knowing that the 6 months is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So it's just like, whatever we have to figure it out in today's circumstances. We have to figure out how to cope and be happy and XYZ in today's circumstances, because we know that 6 months isn't going to come. I mean, it'll come and you'll solve a bunch of all issues, but a lot more will arise. What about on the personal side? You went over kind of the professional background. What do you like to do personally?
Yeah, for me, I love to do music and like just hang. That's kind of my world, is being able to just like hang out with my wife. And we live in a small area, and so I walk outside, the only thing I hear is birds and dogs. And I love that, because my day job and everything that I do professionally is so much hustle and push. But what, I live in a quiet area. Like, you have a car coming by every probably minute or two. So it's just very different, laid back. And so the things that I do to like have fun and kind of cope with stress and stuff is like literally just hang out outside or hang out and do nothing, because I'm doing so much constantly that just being able to like relax for a second is so good. But also music is the other thing. It's a very good outlet, yeah, to be able to channel that. I play drums and guitar and sing and stuff, and sometimes just beating the crap out of a drum set, it's not like the greatest thing ever, honestly.
Yeah, I freaking love that, man. I cannot sing, but I sing all the time.
Love that.
In the car, in the shower with my kids, whatever. And I have this Indian drum that I bought from Amazon too. That's fun. And like putting it in front of your body and you hit it and you like feel the vibrations. I think it's awesome. It's just getting me in a different, you know, emotional state, physical state, and being aware of different senses, which
yeah.
I wish I actually like knew how to, I imagine what it was like when I used to be good at Guitar Hero and just like, man, I'm good at this, but actually producing music would be 1,000 times more interesting. Have you ever heard of a guy named Andrew Huberman?
I've not, no.
He talks about dopamine fast.
Let me see.
Sorry, what was that?
I was listening. Andrew Huberman. I'm writing him down so I keep track of that.
Oh, dude, he's the best dude in the world. He's a neuroscientist or neurobiologist from Stanford, and he has, I think last time it was like top 5 podcasts in the nation. He's just maybe top 10. Every episode gets several million views, and he'll take a topic. The one I listened to today, which is a little weird, but not weird, different. It was about oral health, and he'll do peer-reviewed studies and just review all of the literature out there on whatever the topic is. Like the last one I listened to was on parenting, which was phenomenal. But he has it on caffeine and cannabis, and I mean, you name the topic, muscle building. And he talks about, and one of the ladies, his guests, wrote a book called Dopamine Nation. And she talks all about dopamine and going back to, you know, you have your normal levels, your baseline levels, and it'll go up and down, and how to regulate that. And a portion of that is doing nothing, like getting your brain used to not having dopamine hit it every freaking second of the day while you're talking, phone calls, text, emails, checking off something. And it's hard, but I was trying this for a while. I still do it, but through meditation. Don't do anything for 10 minutes. Just stare at a freaking wall for 10 minutes. And it's hard. It's way harder than you think. So I do it while I'm in my sauna, a form of it. I just do a guided meditation. Because other than that, it's very hard, but that's awesome. That's super, super healthy to get out there and just not do anything, which is funny because we're so wired to do, that it's good to go the opposite. So anyways, that's awesome. How long have you been married for?
We are coming up on 4 years in August. So kind of a young buck. Got started pretty young. I did an LDS mission, and then we met in college, and then, you know, I think it was a year after I got back that we got married. And that's when the rest is history, right? Just living the dream.
Yeah. Where'd you go on your mission?
I did Denver, Colorado, which is kind of cool that the company I work for is based out of. But so Denver, English speaking, and had a really cool experience out there to be able to, I actually did music in this like group called Meet the Missionaries, Meet the Elders. And we did these shows, and my mission president put together all these promos. That was probably the most like mentally taxing thing in my life. We did like 30 shows in a 2-month period. Closest thing to being a touring musician I could probably be. Wow. It was really weird because you're working. I mean, a missionary is basically a sales role, like a door-to-door sales role. Like you've done solar, you know that vibe. And so like the element of being out there, you're crushing the doors all day. And then in the evening we were doing these concerts, or like for a couple hours a day, we'd write the stuff. And it was just really, man, it was such long days. And it like puts hair on your chest, makes you like realize, okay, this is a really cool thing. It was like, honestly, that would be a horrid lifestyle to do on a regular, I think, but it was a really cool like a experience that kind of funneled everything that I do now. And I learned a lot about how to kind of manage stress and manage what I really want in life. Cause there was a period of time when doing music then, and also a little bit when I got back, I was at Snow College doing a music program down there, and I was doing like 4 shows a week. That picking up the guitar became a job, and it was like, oh, that's not good. If the thing that like makes you want to like live and like, you know, feel happy about life, that became work. And it was like, oh man, I don't know how much longer I'll be on this earth if I keep doing that. So that's when I like stepped away from music full time and just do it as a hobby now. But that, it's interesting. Missionary experience definitely permeates a lot of my, who I am, right? Open and honest.
I went on a mission to Mexico, Tijuana, and I was visa waiting in for 3 months in Colorado Springs.
Hey, there you go.
Which is great. It's an awesome area.
Springs is dope.
Anyways, on the music side, you said that you learned, well, one thing I wanted to comment real quick is from a spiritual side or religious side, I'm sure that was an amazing experience for you, but more so for the people that you're performing for, because you can teach somebody, you know, the principles of a faith or a religion or whatever, but song does something different to a lot of people, to most people, and it allows them to connect at just a different level and experience different emotions, which is amazing. So I'm a big fan of that. And that's awesome that you got to do that as a missionary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything.
You mentioned
like,
stress.
Oh yeah, dude, stress.
Sorry, go ahead. I think there's a slight lag, but yeah, no, go ahead.
Good. I was just going to mention that music wise, like you'd be shocked. It also works in sales or anything is just connecting in a way with music that isn't necessarily like just conversation helps so much, right? You just break down barriers instantly. And that was the thing. It was very low key. It's like, hey, come check out this show. It's free. Like that was a way easier sell than, oh, here's these like weird white kids with white shirts and ties that are way too stiff that are going to try and come and teach you a thing. It was just a way better. It's just better all around, right? It's just better marketing overall. And so it's interesting there, but yeah, let's talk about stress though. Like I learned a lot there about that.
Yeah. Tell me what you learned.
Yeah. So in terms of
through and what, damn it.
Yeah, I know that lag.
We'll edit that out. I'm sorry. I'm going to wait 3 more seconds before I start talking.
Me too. I'm going to work on that too. I'm super bad at that. So stress-wise, what I learned while being out there, even after my mission, I did door-to-door sales. I worked in pharmacy for a little while as well, which are hyper stressful. It's a very mentally taxing thing, either of those jobs. And any of them. And so what you have to do is you have to find a way to outlet or to decompress because you can be wound up in like a ball. That's kind of what I describe it as, like a rubber band that's just like stretched constantly, or you're just really tense and you're just pressed constantly. If you don't have a way to like just let loose, you know, take some time. What I would do that helped on my mission that I don't do enough, and I've been picking it up a little bit lately, was running in the morning. For me, it was just my chance to be able to not think. It was my chance to just, the only thing is me and this road and my feet. Just boom, 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 just running. Because it gave me a chance to like think through things and just let it fly. And that helped me manage stress probably better than anything, because I find times in my life, there's a couple months ago, I would wake up 6 in the morning, crank on some videos for my personal clients. I would go shower really quick, hop on my day job from 9 to 5. And then there would be probably 7 to 10 client calls in that 8-hour period. And then after that, I would go work for another 2 to 3 hours after work. And I didn't do anything else. My whole waking hours was that. And I got super depressed really quickly. And as it's this last couple of weeks where I've taken the time to like, hey, Kate, what did I do on my mission to actually like manage the stress better? And it was that. It was like, okay, first thing I wake up, get on the, you know, shoes, go. And don't even think about it, just go. And it's made all the difference because I have more energy through the day, makes me more effective, and actually manage the stress there. So well, those are some things I learned. But I guess when you were out there, I mean, you've gone through the stress. I didn't have to learn a language, but what are the biggest things that I guess you've learned stress-wise that have been applicable to what you're doing now?
I didn't learn this on my mission, but I've learned a lot since then. On my mission, I mean, it was high stress because I'm a top performer, you know. I'm going to do and teach the most lessons and baptize the most people and work the hardest. And, you know, since then though, I think, there's a lot of physical things that I do to change the physiological side of my body, but on a mental or perspective view, it's, I have no control. Like I'm doing whatever I'm doing, I don't know why I want certain things. I don't know why my brain gets dopamine from one thing and serotonin from another and fear from another. Like, I really don't know. And accepting that I didn't choose my wants or desires or hormones, that's pretty freeing because it's like, it also allows you to look at any mistakes without any shame or guilt or embarrassment. Because I do believe that if we rewind the universe to the time that, you know, you spilled an energy drink on somebody's computer, I don't know, in a work environment, like you can look back and say, I didn't mean to do that. Like I didn't consciously try to hurt somebody. I'm not a bad person. I don't know if I've ever really consciously, like I'm going to be a terrible person. Like mistakes happen, and just realizing that it was a mistake and it just happened because it happened. I think that allows me, especially on the business side, like it's just, there's always hell going on. And it's just stepping back and like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And whatever already has happened, we can't go back and change that either. So that's the mentality standpoint or the perspective change. On the physical side, and I do quite a bit, I take 20 pills in the morning of you name it. I do L-carnitine injections. I do 3 different peptides. I'm on testosterone therapy. I do 2 injections a week for that. Like this morning I woke up and I have a full body red light therapy near infrared. So I just lay on my bed, which is a great way to wake up, and it feels great. Do that for 15, 20 minutes and go heat up my sauna while I'm doing my pills and my drinks, because I do a bunch of like other powders, mainly electrolytes, fiber, creatine, glutamine, kind of standard stuff. And then I jump in the sauna for 2 or 3 minutes to heat up. And then I jump in an ice bath for 5 minutes. And that is the number one thing. I've tried a lot of different things. I have these lights. Maybe I can't see them. Like, this is supposed to be really good. The number one thing that affects your mood, from what I've read, is your sleep. And the number one thing to make you sleep better is getting your circadian rhythms aligned. And the number one thing to do that is looking at bright lights in the morning. So I drink coffee every morning and I have one of these sitting right there, and I have 2 of them on my desk and I have one of them by my nightstand. And it's getting bright lights in your eye right when you wake up. And then also getting sodium. I feel like that helps a lot as well. But I've tried kind of everything that I've heard about. And I do think that the ice bath is the number one thing to just be like, okay, it's time to freaking go. And while I'm in the ice bath, have you ever heard of breath work? Or do you know what that is?
Like, oh, yeah, different breathing techniques? I listen to Joe Rogan a lot. Yeah, I know a lot of this stuff it's great. So
Joe Rogan, I think he's had Wim Hof as a guest, who's like the Iceman, and he can withstand very cold temperatures and taught a group of people how to hike Mount Kilimanjaro in their shorts with no shirts on, you know? And it's all about controlling your breath. And if you control your breath, you can control your temperature. So I actually do that in the ice bath. I'll breathe like hyperventilate breathing for 2 minutes. It's about 75 breaths for me. And then I hold my breath for a minute while I'm still in there. And my whole body is just tingling. And I'm just so present, because my body's tingling because I'm in 35 degree water. And then, but this will make my nose and my face. And it's just like the most present I think I am at any given time of the day. So anyways, I know that was a long answer. I've tried it all, but I do think that the ice bath, have you ever experienced that?
I've done an ice bath before, and it's been, man, I just need to quit being a wuss and invest in one too. Cause it's just like, usually you just go hop in a trough or something, or you're just like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go dive in the snow, and it's the middle of winter. But it's one of those things that I did cold showers for a while. It's like a wussier version of it, but the same concepts still apply, where you put yourself through a stressful situation intentionally. And exercise is this, right? You wake up, you do this workout, and you push yourself to a limit that you have never gone to before, or you're getting back to if you were like a good athlete in high school. I was a better athlete in high school than I am now by far. And so it's actually, for me, it's a lot getting back to where I was at that level. But in that moment, when you're in the thick of it, it sucks. It super sucks. But being okay with that, like, you tell your body like this is a good thing. This is okay. And then the rush, or I don't even know if that's a dopamine high. I don't even know what chemical it is, but the second you finish a solid workout after you've had that moment of like hyper stress, and then you release it, it's such a, it's like an all encompassing full body experience, like borderline spiritual, right? It just takes you over almost. And it's something that really adds, cause I mean, you're spiritual and physical beings at their core, right? Everybody is. Your spiritual is, I mean, just mentally, you're thinking about everything and you synthesize the world that way, but you also experience it physically. So you can kind of push the limits from the mental side to the physical. It just makes other elements of your life a lot better. So I've seen that for sure. Do you feel like that's helped you like be higher achieving in your work that you do, and being able to take Dirty Door to the next level, and your other investments, your other work? Like, are these elements that are keys to your success, or are they something that support the underlying who has been it, or like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think absolutely, because there's mornings that I wake up, I'm just like despair. I'm just like, there's too much shit to do today. I'm never going to get through it. And how am I going to go find a few million dollars and do this and the raising and making payroll? And it is the only thing that keeps me going, I think. And I went through a pretty bad hump just last month. I went to Turkey, got my hair transplant done. You can see it's growing in right here. They take hairs off the side, they throw it in the top. And they said no working out a week before and a month after. And I wasn't supposed to do ice bath or sauna either. And I felt terrible and I didn't really know what it was. I'm just like, man, I'm not doing good right now. And it wasn't until I could start ice bath, sauna, and working out every morning. Then I'm like, oh, I'm back to normal. Like that made that big of a difference. And I cannot work if I feel anxiety all freaking day or like a dark pit in my gut. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. When I feel the best is when I'm working and I'm progressing on something. Like if I have an empty calendar day, like that is harder to get through. Like I have to entertain myself because if I just start working, do these things that would give me energy, wake me up and I start working, then I'm like, I feel progress. And I then can remind myself, oh, I could overcome literally every challenge in the world. I think I can. It's just, I have to try. So no, absolutely. For me, I wouldn't be able to really work that hard or I would put work in and it wouldn't be effective because especially, you know, sales, it's all about your confidence level and about your mood. And if people like you and you're not likable, if you're just like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not happy. So I think 1,000%.
Yeah.
Anyways, I appreciate that question.
Yeah, I like seeing that side of it too, because it makes a big difference. It really does.
So. Yeah. What is success for you? Like if you were to fast forward however many years you want, 3 years or 5 years, and not even talking career wise, but obviously career has to do with it. But like, when would you look back, or if you could look back right now, like when is it like, okay, I'm successful if XYZ has happened or is happening?
You know, I ask myself that probably more often than I should, because I'm still figuring that piece out for what success looks like for me. I live in that sometimes that cycle of I'll be happy if, you know, the elements of success. I've already lived a really dope life and I'm pretty young. Like I've had so many unique experiences. I've traveled around the world to different countries that some people never even get to see things. I've been to Iceland and all over Europe and we live in a house and have a place that we can like go outside and hang out and we don't have to live, you know, crowded in a city. And we have so many beautiful things. Like we have a great community around us and, you know, my wife's pregnant. We're planning to have a kiddo and move into that part of life. Like success, I'm still figuring out like what that looks like in a professional sense. Cause in 5 to 10 years, like my mind's like, oh sweet, it'd be sick to, you know, own an agency that's, you know, a million per year, 2 million a year agency. And I've got like maybe 6 or 7 employees and we're just crushing it and have the systems dialed in and all this, like be amazing. Or help content supply get to the point where we're like 10 to 12 million a year. And we've got, you know, VC funding coming in to help us like scale this thing to be the next NBC or something like that. You know, like that'd be amazing. But at the end of the day, I remember I talked to Johnny Hanna, who was the CEO of Homey for a little while. And I had a podcast with him and he mentioned about the worth in life after he stepped down from being the CEO there and that he struggled to find like, okay, what's my purpose now? Cause he was in Trotta and then Homey, which are like super huge companies, right? It blew him up huge. And then all of a sudden it was gone and it was like, okay, who am I? So I wonder that too. And maybe I'll ask you to what that would look like too. Cause to success to me is that I'm not stopping, to be honest, is that it's always pushing that next level. Cause everything I've set my mind out to do, I've been able to do thus far. I just need to push past certain limits in my mind is the problem. Maybe I set my goals way too low, right? But a lot of the things I've wanted to try and do in my life, I've had the opportunity to. It's just finding out what is that next goal, right? Is that I'm not stopping and just complacent. Like, oh, I reached it. We're done. I think that success to me is that I've not neglected my family, but I'm still pushing.
I'm a little opposite. I relate to the way of, I set a goal and I'm going to achieve it because I always have, but what the hell's the point?
Right.
Because you feel great and then you just set the next goal. So that I sold my solar company and then I So I bought Dirty Dough, sold the solar company maybe 6 months after, and I wanted $1 million net worth before I was 30. I was 29. I was like, I got it. I feel great. And then just almost immediately, a few days, a week or two, like I went back to nights and weekends and putting my family aside because obviously they don't need me. They need money, which was so stupid. Like I didn't ask my wife what she wanted. So for me, I've been getting more into, I don't know, different types of meditations and philosophies. And I've learned, and I do agree with right now, it could change, but all suffering comes from desire. Once you want something, you're admitting to yourself that you don't have it. So if I want a jet, I'm not complacent. I mean, I'm not going to be happy till I get it. How about I just don't want a jet? So I'm trying to not want things. I'm trying to lower my desires. Because there's two ways. You kind of have the happiness gap. I'm going to be happy when XYZ happens, when I have whatever. I have to, here's where I want to be and here's where I'm at. I need to bridge that gap to be happy or to be fulfilled or to have whatever you want. There's two ways to bridge it. You go get that thing, you go get the $1 million and you boom. But what happens is the hedonic treadmill. Your body reaches equilibrium. It just goes back to your normal baseline. And then the gap is created again and again and again, no matter how you hit it. The other way is bring what you want down to what you already have. And then you're not, you know, in the rat race for the rest of the world. And you can do that by going through different meditation practices. And some of them are rough, but they're really good. Like I've had times that like I deeply experienced the emotions of losing my wife, of losing my kids, and what my life would be. And it's terrible. But then you realize that you still have them. So anyways, one of the activities is whatever you already have, imagine losing it. And then when you bring it back to your life, man, I just got everything I wanted, you know? So I'm going more, I see that a lot in the world of do more, be more. And my question is kind of from sales, well, why? Why do I need to be more? Why do I need to do more? Why? What I'm after and what I set my mission statement is joy and fulfillment. I want more joy and fulfillment in my life and I want it now. So I put joy and fulfillment despite life's dirtiness, you know, ties in with the dirty dope. So again, I'm still experimenting. I still change my beliefs all the freaking time, but that's what I'm on is why do I want more stuff? And I'm questioning that rather than how do I get it? Because I've just seen too many people, including myself, achieve everything they want and they just want more and then they want more and they want more. And it's like, well, what's the point? So I don't know. You can give me your feedback on that because it is different and you could judge me on it. That's fine.
No, I really like that because I mean, it's the same element of gratitude. Like your happiness level is generally correlated to how much gratitude you have, right? And we live in a very consumer heavy society. And obviously if you work in sales at any point in any way, or marketing, you're always just more, 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 because more means more money, more means the job promotion, more means, you know, more opportunities. And at the end of the day, it's like when you really take a moment to meditate on why do I want these things, at least for me, it gives me a chance to think like, okay, what's the baseline I need to be happy or the baseline to survive, right? Let's reach that. And then once that's at equilibrium, in what ways can we improve the situation we're at? Because I mean, like the world is so expensive nowadays and there's so many things that like working in a creative field, it's always like you claw and you bite and you just hustle to just get any money for it. But it's fun through the whole process. But I like what you're saying there, that it really comes back to gratitude. And that's another thing too. Like whenever I'm in my dark days, like on a Sunday, I'll sit in church and if I'm like really hyper stressed because of all the things going on, that I'm like, okay, Monday on, I'm just going to get punched in the face again with all this stuff. I just write down what am I grateful for and just line item it. And you're right. It brings you back to that, like a positive state instead of wanting more and more. It's good to realize that simplifying is probably the better move overall for happiness. Yeah. So I think there's something wise.
I think it comes down to like, be happy with what you have, because you can look at, this is probably a very accurate statement for me, for you, given what you just shared with me, how your life is. there's at least a billion people alive today that they would consider all of their prayers answered if they had your life. So why the hell aren't you happier? You know, why do you want more when all they want is you? And then you're like, again, if you just want more for the rest of your life, and then you have higher suicide rates actually in wealthier countries. And I think there's no backing to this. I think it's because you feel an emptiness when you hit, I'm going to hit XYZ, I'm going to feel good. And you hit it. You're like, that felt good, but it went away. Next. And then you achieve everything and you're just like, nothing is going to give me the lasting happiness that I'm after. And we know that, right? How many goals have you set that you thought you'd be happier and you hit? You've already hit it.
Literally.
You've already hit 1,000 goals that you thought you'd be happier. It's never coming. You're going to be happy. And it's going to go up and down. So it's more loving the balance and not wanting more, but just being content with, I'm never going to be perfectly happy. And that's what life is. So anyways, again, very different mindset shift. And I've been doing it maybe for a few years. I feel like it's helped a ton so far. But people are also like, how do I get a bigger business? And I'm like, why do you want another business? Why do you want a bigger business? And it usually comes down to, well, because money's better. Well, why is it better? Because I could buy more things. Well, why do you want more things? And then it comes down to tracing it back to an emotion. Well, I want a car because if I have a nicer car, people will look at me as successful. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means that you don't feel like you're enough without other people looking at you successful. How about just go work on that rather than chasing a business for 10 years to finally get the car and the house and the jet for other people to be like, oh, he's a cool guy, when that really doesn't fulfill you anyway, because it needs to come with, it has to come from within. So anyway, sorry, going back on a little tangent on there. If you had your perfect life, so you just, you know, your agency's doing a few million a year, you only have a handful of employees, your creative agency's doing 8 figures, how would your day-to-day look different?
It would be more time with family, I think. Even I know that sounds weird, but you generally get to the point where the systems and everything's in place and becoming more of a figurehead and being able to really hone in on helping develop the next generation. That would be like the element of in the most successful situation, right? I mean, this is all like idealistic in so many ways, but the fact that everything can be figured out to a point, you handle the big problems, but you can really hone in and spend time with those that matter most and be there for them. Cause that was something that like my dad worked and owned a pharmacy and he worked 80 hour weeks and he was gone all the time. I mean, we grew up very nice. It was awesome. Loved that. But he wasn't there sometimes, you know, my tennis matches or whatnot here and there, like it would be dad had to work. There's no backup. Like dad's working. And, I'd love to be there for my kids' stuff. You know, they got a soccer game, I'm there. Lacrosse something, sure. Yep, I'm there. Like that. That's, I think, the real success to me.
And how much money do you need to do that? Do you really need more money to do that?
Yeah, some. Yeah, but like not as much as like.
I don't know either.
I don't need the million. I don't need the millions. It could be way less than that, and I could reach all that. So it's really kind of a cool like mental thought exercise if you talk about it.
The thought that I did when I sold the solar company was, well, that before I sold it, and I got up to 310 pounds. Everything was about work, family life, relations, all of that. Who cares? Because I'm going to achieve this. And once I achieve this, then I'm going to work on that other crap. More money equals more time. More time equals more time more time off of work, which equals more vacation time, which equals more time with my family. And if I'm with my family, I'm happier. Well, guess what? I could be with my family every single day at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, whatever I want. I just have to make the decision. And when I realized that, and I got there as well, I started seeing a therapist. And I still do here and there, which I really enjoy. But it was just a very big mindset shift of like, I can do it every single day. And since then I don't work nights. I don't work weekends. My business has grown more than it ever has. There's 1,000 things that I could do, but I firmly believe there's no, why does that stupid thumbs up thing? Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I do.
I do that. And it's like a little bubble emoji with a thumbs up. no matter how many hours I work, like, or whatever emergencies come to me at 5:01 PM, there is literally nothing that can't wait till tomorrow. Nothing. Even if somebody dies, I could grieve for them tomorrow. Like, it's family time, and that's just the line, and that's it. And then to help me with that, I've also talked with both my kids and my spouse about, hey, this is my commitment. If I'm not keeping my commitment, you can call me out. And I will, because sometimes I need that. You know, sometimes I just get caught into it, and I love working. Anyways, that's something that I would challenge you just to reflect on. I'm always reflecting on myself of, like, really, what is keeping you from living your perfect life right now? If it's fishing, just go fishing every day. Or every weekend, or no, whatever it is. And I do think that our minds tell ourselves that we need more in order to enjoy life, when I don't think that's true in 99% of the cases. I think you could just enjoy life, because there's people, and I went to Kenya a few months back, and it's like, their suicide rates are a third of ours. You know, they don't have anything. They literally have nothing. We were in remote villages drilling water wells. They don't even have running water. So why aren't they committing suicide if it's such a bad life? I don't think it is a bad life. I think it's just perspective. So very different. But I've been going on a tangent, because you're asking me questions, dude, and I'm talking way too much. I apologize.
No, you're good, man. I love it. I love the perspective. It's the back and forth, you know? It's not just a one-sided thing. So it's sick.
What are you doing right now in your life to help other people find more success, joy, fulfillment? Or what would you like to be doing to help others more?
So yeah, I quite a bit of my time. So there's two volunteer things I do right now. I mean, it's called a deacon's advisor for your listeners that aren't familiar with the church, but basically kind of like a youth pastor for like 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds, basically guide them to doing cool stuff. And I'll show them, like last week we made a video for their, just made some dorky video to show them the ins and outs of like video editing, video production. And we had a dang good time doing stuff like that. And so giving back to like none of these kids, I'm not related to any of these guys, and they asked me to do this, and I do it, and it's free, and I don't, you know, it's a way to give back. And I feel so good when I'm able to just, you know, show the next generation opportunities and things that they can do professionally, or just some cool things. Like we smoked meat like 2 weeks ago on my Traeger that my wife bought me for Christmas. And it's like little things like that can go a long way when you just, that makes me feel fulfilled. And the other one is I run a chapter of Silicon Slopes up here in Box Elder County. So I reached out to the main dude that was running it up here and said, hey, I want to get involved. Like, when's your meetings? He's like, oh, sweet. No one's reached out while I've been doing it. So you're in charge now. It's like, oh, okay. What the heck? And so I help run this local chapter and giving back to awesome. Other entrepreneurs, connecting. It's like, I'm trying to turn it into just a cool, like low key networking thing. And that's also free. And I find that just being there with other people, being able to give them my expertise, because oddly enough, when you are in a content production agency, I get paid to learn stuff all the time, because when you edit video for somebody, you synthesize content probably 4 or 5 times. Right. So if someone's educating on a topic, like say starting a business or a leadership principle, if you're involved with the editing process there, you watch that thing 4 or 5 times. So you're going to be almost their level of comprehension of a certain subject. And so anybody who produces content will understands generally that you learn so much. And so being able to share that with people in this little podunk area, it's not that podunk. I mean, there's like 40,000 people in the metro, which isn't that much, but still in comparison, it's been really awesome to be able to like give back that way. And it's actually helped me grow as a person, because there's times there that I was like, every moment needs to have a dollar attached to it, or I spend it with my family only. But sometimes the returns of just giving something back for nothing, and it's great. It's like even better overall, you know, because it builds community, makes you feel good.
I do think that's what drives most joy and fulfillment, is helping others. But when we're stressed about our own situations, for whatever reason it is, a health or financial, it's hard to go out. But typically that's actually what alleviates the stress, is giving yourself to others and seeing the impact. And going to the deacon's quorum, my parents got divorced when I was, I don't know, like 8 years old or something like that. So I didn't grow up with my dad. And the deacon's quorum, I mean, I'm talking last week. It was actually 2 weeks ago. It was actually at a Silicon Slopes event here in Pleasant Grove. And I saw my Deacon's Quorum advisor or Scoutmaster or whatever. And I caught up with him forever. But the connections that I made, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, 20 years later, I still talk with those people and the impact that they had on my life. Because I don't know, again, without like a father figure, these guys stepped in. Like, they would take me to fathers and sons. They taught me how to do the campfires and canoeing and all the cool stuff. A lot of that, again, is scouts, but it was tied into the church. So dude, you're making a huge impact, and keep at it. That's awesome. Right. Last question for you. What is the legacy that you want to leave behind? How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone that's authentic, that never gave up, but at the same time took time with family. I think those are the biggest things. Authenticity and a family man. I'd take that to the grave. I think that'd be solid.
I love that. I support it, man. Awesome. Well, Brendan, you're an amazing guest. I appreciate you spending your time with us today. Where can listeners connect with you?
They can connect with me. I've got the Rock and Roll Startup, but also like hit me up on LinkedIn. I think I dropped a ton of links in this thing. So find me on LinkedIn. I'm probably most active on that social platform. Yeah. And hit up Blackthorn Media. Like, if you guys are interested in content, either video supply, contentsupply.com, or hit up blackthornmediallc.com, and I'll help you find out some content in some form or fashion, either way that you go. So
awesome. Brendan, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.